Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Mac, talk some ball.
Great spillover conversation. Woo. There in the post Kirby, Dr. Kirby delivery stories.
I can't stop laughing.
Really should be a television show. If you heard it, if you didn't hear it, we do very well in the podcast department. I think this one should be really at the top of our all-time list. It's hard to fathom. Really? What was just put on tape? I don't know if we're taping at the station anymore or not, but if we are, really.
Can I make just one quick invite before we get to Coach Mack?
Oh, yep. Please do.
Kirby, will you please at some point be a guest on the Chit Chat podcast that I'm hosting? Great.
Kirby accepts.
We will go to Yeehaw and Old Smoky Moonshine and drink together, and I will interview Kirby.
Get
for
Kirby
what I hope to be a great hour.
But I will say there is one tape of Kirby liquored up, and it can't be shared.
That'll be on Elsewhere.
Can't be
Mac,
shared.
It can be shared online. That's what this will be. You can say
Let's
whatever you
discuss
want.
The last 2 days of joint practice work between the Titans and the Patriots. You joined us briefly yesterday. We discussed the way it was structured. What was the focus today? Red zone?
Well, today it was red zone today, but what you saw that they did today, they moved everybody to one field. And that's normally what you do on the second day because you've gotten in the unit work that you want for the first day. These guys have worked on this schedule for quite a while between these two staffs. And so now they move on this field over here. You've got more concentrated effort. It's more like, there's a little more energy to it. I think you could feel that because you've got both sidelines there, you know, while whichever unit is out there is participating. The other thing that's so important is when you do this is you can get all the officials on the same field. All right, and that's what you want in this. And I think the one thing that we saw, first of all, I like the energy of practice from both squads. I thought it was very good. It was very competitive. These are going to be two really good defenses. We were watching the best quarterback maybe ever to play the game out here. I mean, arguably, you just watch how he works. There were a lot of good things. I purposely watched the one-on-ones today with the defensive linemen, the two-on-one pass rush drills, the one-on-one pass rush drills. I wanted to watch, you know, that before they got going. But overall, you could tell both head coaches and both staffs had worked very hard to get this in. There was, you know, you had one little dust up here in the end zone that was really nothing. All right. I mean, you know, pushing and shoving is fine. I mean, you just don't want the all out, Braveheart brawls where people just empty the sidelines. I mean, that's ridiculous. You don't want that. The work was really good. I think both teams got a lot out of it. And here's the other thing too. And I'll say this. I think both teams did some things out here, even against an opponent that they probably won't show in the preseason, but these two staffs trust each other. They know none of this information is going anywhere.
Paul, what was the big takeaway from you today?
Well, I think probably kind of the Patriots personnel. The defense playing their ones deep and not having a lot of ones in their weaponry even available. Rhett was over here early, kind of crossing guys off the roster. Julian Edelman, you know, not available for this whole weekend, but then he crossed off a whole bunch of guys. So once again, Tom Brady left to make chicken salad out of something a lot worse. And does so. I one of my takeaways, I watched the 7-on-7, Brady's 7-on-7. You know, there's some balls there that, you know, Vrabel turned to his guys and said, like, basically, nothing you can do there. Like, the pass rush has to take care of that. It, you know, if the pass rush doesn't take care of that and he's has the time to make that throw, you just got to turn and go back to the huddle.
That's 100% true. I mean, you're 100% right. And, again, a lot of times when you're working against another team, it's not so much about trying to win every down. You don't have to win every snap. But what you're trying to do is whatever defense or offense you're in or whatever type of scheme you're trying to run or what you're trying to work on, if you get that developed and the fact that you're able to do it against people that you don't see every day, that's extremely important too. And you know, I agree with what you said right there, Paul, that some of these things, I mean, some of the balls are thrown late out here, which is fine. you're practicing. That's what you're doing out here. But you know, to your point with Rhett, when you start looking at the receivers that Brady doesn't have out here now, that's not uncommon for him. You know, especially during this time of year. But once the season starts, you know those guys are going to be in there. But what Tom Brady does, the way he practices, that's the way you do it.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag. Coach Mack with us. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mack, Harold Landry was active today. Several of the reports from Paul and Rhett mentioned him and what they saw. And I know you specifically were keyed in on some of those pass rushes from him. What'd you see?
I think Paul and Rhett are exactly right, and I didn't even hear what they said, but I think I've got a pretty good idea. He's heavier than he was last year, and I'm talking about he's thicker, and he's got more of a punch to him. And it's extremely, extremely important, especially where he's playing. I saw him make a two-hand swipe today in a pass rushing team that I had never seen him do before. That's another move, and that's a move that comes off of a power rush. That was incredible, and I loved watching him do it. But that just shows me that development and what he has been working on in this offseason. And also, it's another element to his game. But he's heavier. Last year, he was a skim edge guy. That's what he was. You know, and until he got in this weight program this year and stayed and worked and got some ballast to him and got some so that he has a punch. If you're going to be a speed-to-power guy or a power-to-speed rusher, but you don't have any punch to you, then it doesn't even matter. You might as well go back to just hitting the edge. What I saw him do today and in these last 2 days, but today particularly, I think Rhett and Paul are right. You can actually see it. You can see it physically that he's thicker than he was, all right? But you can also, when you watch him in drills and then you watch him in the pass rush, he's got some knockback to his game right now. If you can knock back and reestablish the line of scrimmage, it makes a big difference. I like what I saw of him today.
Dan Skipper went to Arkansas. He arrived here as a free agent in 2018, I'm presuming, or arrived with the Patriots. I'm presuming he's an undrafted. He's listed as a one, you know, so he's around. He's 6'9", 325.
Tackle.
He was a long-time Tennessee commitment out of high school, out of Colorado.
And I saw Landry make a great play against him where he dipped under him. Now, this is Landry doing, you know, base Landry thing, but he got under him very quickly, under and around very quickly and into the backfield for one of those plays that wasn't whistled dead as a sack, where I think Brady took a shot down the field. But it was a very good basic Harold Landry foundational kind of play. I've talked a lot over the last couple of days to friends of mine who cover the Patriots. And so I was talking to one of them after things moved over here and was all on one field. I was kind of asking for an overall assessment. Said, you know, Brady was dinking and dunking them to death like he does when he's not really finding anything. Didn't take a ton of shots. Now, after that, he did take a couple more shots and got a flag for PI, a Dory against a Gunner, who's, you know, not a very high-ranking player. Nobody out there was very high-ranking player, really, in the offensive weaponry. But they're the kind of guys that emerge as weapons for the Patriots, you know, where one of them will be a guy that makes a crucial play for them somewhere along the way, right? And the main takeaway was that Brady taking what's there all day long, and that the Patriots defense was generally giving the Titans some fits. Now, Mariota's numbers, and you don't want to get too caught up in this. I read off what John Glennon kept track, Mac, of the numbers, and Mariota had good completion numbers. But again, you don't have yardage numbers to go with those completion numbers. So, and Tannehill did not have good completion numbers at all.
Yeah, no, I mean it's 2 good days of work, and that's what you're trying to get. I mean, you're not necessarily looking, as you say, you're not necessarily looking at numbers. You're just looking at what you're trying to work at. And I was just talking to, you know, I told Hutt, you know, and Chad here that you will see, because of the work they've got, you will probably see some veterans, and I would you know, dare to say on both sides that have gotten a lot of intense work these last 2 days that may not get as much work in this preseason game just because of the work, you know, that they've gotten here. I mean, this is the wave of the future, what you're looking at right now, is teams getting together with teams that they trust. You have to trust the teams. You have to trust the head coaches. You have to trust the organization that you're working against. That's a huge, huge thing. But this is going to be the wave of the future because the reps, the work, the quality of work that you can get in these two types of things, you know, coupled with a couple of preseason games, you can get a team ready doing this.
I think they already kind of know who those players will be that'll be down, or is it tomorrow on the day off where you kind of go through?
Yeah, I don't think they already know, Hutt. I mean, they always have a pretty good. I mean, you always have a pretty good idea. You know, I'm just saying from my own personal experience, you know, on both sides of this, as a head coach and as an assistant coach, you have an idea. You have an idea, you know, set up going in. I'll tell you something else, too, that they've got so much more now is this whole catapult system that is fabulous. If you've ever looked at any of the printouts or any of the thing that stuff does, I mean, you're not guessing anymore. You're not doing like you used to do, go by feel. How do my players feel? How do their legs feel? How do they look? Are they dead-legged? Are they? You got empirical evidence now. I mean, you can really track some things that are. It's if none of you guys have ever seen it. I mean, you guys like to take a deep dive into what's going on behind the scenes. If you can ever get access to looking at just a printout and seeing what it is, it's very, very interesting.
It's funny. Vrabel fielded a question about that in the last couple of days. He said the funny thing is it gives you like total yardage covered, but you have to match it up with the speed.
Speed,
and the
that's
speed's
exactly
really
right.
More important, because he said if you go walk around here, counts the same as the running. So really, they're more concerned with the speed.
That's 100% right, Paul. And
that's
I said,
why they backed down Davis so much, right?
Yeah, well,
last year, when we were saying, you know, how could he be given this much time off? It was really about the speed.
I think you guys would be fascinated to look at it, and you're 100% right. It's not duration. It is speed, and it's load. It's the load that you're taking, you know, on the legs, and it's also oxygen intake. It's a fascinating tool.
What did you observe with Brady? Have you watched him practice up close like this before?
Never. I've never ever. And that's I was so, you know, even though all the years I've been in the league, I mean, as I say, I really, because when you watch somebody that is really as accomplished as he is, you know that the practice habits have to be. Look, I've been on the field with Aeneas Williams, who's a Hall of Fame player, with Mike Singletary, a Hall of Fame player, Dan Hampton, Richard. I know their practice habits. I watched them. I knew what they, you know, I knew what they did. You know, and it's different. And I watched him, and it's like watching Tiger Woods on the, you know, at the driving range. Or like, I mean, it's so precise and everything that he works. And once he starts walking out here, he's all business, you know, other than the fact that when he hollered at Vrabel after Vrabel started it with him yesterday. But no, he's all business, and everything he does, it's with precision. And he works like he's going to play, like he's playing the game. He works this out here just like he's playing the game. And what Paul said, you know, talking to his guys just now, you know, on the New England side of it, I mean, that's the way Brady plays the game. You not only watch him dink and dunk out here if it's not there, you watch him play a whole game like that. Mm. That's how he plays. That's what he does. But just the precision that he works with, I mean, there is nothing haphazard about the way Tom Brady goes about playing quarterback in practice. Nothing.
He's always, if he's not trying to teach something to someone as they – finish a play, he's talking with McDaniels about something and pointing things out on the field. He is overanalyzing every aspect when he's at the line of scrimmage. After he does the play, he's talking with somebody about their assignment.
Well, but that comes with being the GOAT.
Yep.
I mean, it really does. And I think another guy that probably did that, I've heard that has done that, I've never seen him in practice do it, would be Peyton Manning. When those guys are so immersed and they've done it for so long and they're so intricately involved in their offense, but they know it so well and they've seen it so many times, you can only do that. You can't manufacture experience in this league, and you can't manufacture it back there. And so those types of guys are invaluable.
Hey, Matt,
yeah, let's go.
Let's mention two players that deserve mention.
Kirby, by the way, Paul's right. He doesn't have one. Go ahead.
He doesn't have one. Rashawn Evans.
Now you can watch.
Real quick. Dean P said – he's trusting his eyes. It's fun to watch him develop and really carry over at the end of last year to camp. And it coincides with what you've been
telling
us.
Well, the three of us, we've talked about this since the off season, and I said that, you know, not because I said it. I mean, you just knew that he needed to take that step like Jayon Brown took but he had a little further step to take because he didn't have all the experience that Jayon did his rookie year. Jayon had a full camp, and then he started playing intermittently, then he started playing a lot. You know, Rashawn had to catch up a lot. I give Rashawn a lot of credit for that. I give Dean Pease a lot of credit for the work they put in, and Tyrone McKenzie. Tyrone McKenzie spent a lot of time with this player because this player is a really, really good player. And if you know what you're looking at, which, you know, you guys do. I mean, I when I stand out here and watched him all through OTAs, I've been through every practice they've had since they got back, you know, for the off season. You can see his eyes are better. You have to train your eyes. It's always eyes before feet when you're working at the second, third level of defense, and it's just much better, and it's good. It's important. He's going to be a big piece of this defense.
If I'm not mistaken, another team that was hot and heavy for Rashawn Evans is just on the field here the last couple of days.
Paul, that is such a good point because he fits in. These two defensive schemes are similar. Bill Belichick and Dean Pease think a lot alike as far as defense goes and as far as the way they deploy their people and the type of people that they want to be able to, you know, to use. I mean, you saw Rashawn in some spots today that we haven't seen him in before out here, and I won't elaborate on any of that, but he's going to be a big piece of this, and it doesn't surprise me at all, Paul, with what you say about the Patriots being interested in him coming out of Alabama.
I'm trying to hold the water, so to speak, with a rookie wide receiver. Did A.J. Brown drop a pass today?
No, look, A.J. Brown needs to continue to be on the field, and what he needs to do, you know, coming back from that first day injury, he needs to continue to build on this. But here's what he is. This is a big body athletic dude. I saw him make some real nice one-on-one releases, and then he is a hand catcher. He goes with his hands. He's a snatch catcher. He's not a body catcher going across the middle. He's big bodied enough. He will reach for it, snatch hands, catch it, and then take whatever hit comes. I really like what I saw today out of him.
I talked to him today about
good.
A terrific catch yesterday over his shoulder going to the ground on a great throw from Tannehill. And he said, that's baseball, man. That's me being a center fielder who's drafted by the Padres.
That's interesting.